The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and thanking you for your support once again. All right then, we are at the Malibu Open here at Lyman Land, just outside Tuscaloosa in Alabama. And I've got a special guest lined up for this episode, a former world-class trick skier. He's now the one of the proud parents of two world-class trickers and overall skiers. And for those of you that are parents of skiers looking to try and improve and all of that kind of stuff, then this episode is definitely going to be worth listening to. So with that, I introduce Richard Abelson. So how are you doing, sir?
Great. Thanks, Tony. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. So let's talk credentials, you know, because, I mean, you've been in the sport for how many years now?
Well, I got into it when I was about 5 or 6 years old. My dad got me into it. He learned to water ski in camp up in upstate New York, and got my brother and I skiing when we were really young. And lack of availability of slalom courses and jumps, for the most part, we gravitated toward trick skiing up in New Hampshire, skiing on natural lakes, and that's kind of where we got our start.
Okay, so certainly tricking did take the majority of your time. Taking a majority of your time now as you coach your son Jake and your daughter Alexia. I hope I pronounced that right.
No,
because
she'll be really happy.
Yeah, I get harangued on that consistently, but yeah. So as you were skiing and as you were progressing from like the age of six, I mean, what age did you figure, okay, I might be somewhat good at this, or did someone talent spot you a little bit and say, This skier could go far with the right coaching?
Well, I was really fortunate that my parents, seeked out good coaches, and I had the opportunity to ski with, some of the great and most knowledgeable coaches, in the sport. Growing up, I got to ski with Chet Raley. I got to ski with Tangi Bennett. I got to ski with Mike Ferraro. I skied with Corey Picos. So I, moved around a little bit, but I was very lucky to have great mentors in the sport.
Okay, so I mean, for as I said right from the very top of the podcast, I mean, this will be a great episode for any of you parents that are listening in. So you've been involved with the sport since you were six. You know, you've got young kids involved. Try and give us a sense of, you know, what the keys are here for producing a skier. I mean, what's got to happen on their end, and what's got to happen from your end to try and come away with the best result that you can between the two of you?
As I sort of got a little older, I got was in my early teens, and I started skiing with Camilo Espinel, who also is a terrific coach, and has become through the years a very close friend. Early on, I recognized in my kids' development as skiers that I knew, having grown up with different coaches and having parents that have opinions and are involved in the sport and care, there comes a time in every skier's career where it's important to be able to have somebody else in the boat other than your parents. So I think for parent coaches, it's really important to bring someone in early that has a good relationship with your children, that they respect and look up to, that can help take you out of the boat, that you trust their opinions, and I think that that's really important and key aspect of some of the success we've had, as well as the consistency that we've had from a couple of my other really good friends, Jimmy Seemers and Jamie Beauchesne, had a big influence on their skiing, and have spent time in the boat and working with the kids, and it's great for them to have both them to see them both as skiers, as mentors, as coaches, and create that. Sometimes kids like to believe that their parents don't know what they're talking about, and so I think that it's good for them to hear similar feedback from other people than just their parents.
Yeah, so a little bit of affirmation from the coaches, that in as much to say, yes, your parents do know what they're talking about, and they know enough to let me get involved in coaching you from the start, rather than being totally involved in your development.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And and it's nice for us to unplug when sometimes tension, let's just say emotions get higher, and it takes a high degree of care and focus for kids to want to excel in this sport or other sports. My kids both are highly competitive gymnasts as well, as pursue a kind of a number of other athletic aspirations, whether it's snow skiing wise, or Jake's really into wind winging, he loves mountain biking, we do a lot of hiking and rock climbing and other outdoor sports.
What was that wing winging?
Wind winging, yes.
Wind winging. Tell me a little bit about that, because that's the first I've heard of it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's when you're holding a kind of a wing in the wind and you're riding a foil.
That's what they call it. Okay. I wasn't aware that it was called that. So wind winging. Okay.
Wing foiling. There's a few different names for it. Yeah. So it's kind of an newly emerging sport, wind sport.
Okay. So... we're at the point where we're talking about other activities aside from the sport of skiing. I've actually seen quite a few skiers kind of like diversify their athletic prowess and their talents, and try and draw from those to actually improve upon their main one. Have there been instances that you've seen from? From some of the activities that your kids get involved in, like draw upon that to improve upon their trick skiing and what have you?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Obviously, gymnastics is your kind of really direct line, all the kind of acrobatic movements as well as the strength derived from it. It also allows my kids to really take a very strong off season from skiing, in the winter, really from November through till March, they really don't pick up a water ski. And it's important for them to have that long off season, pursue other things and other interests, and then come back and be really excited about skiing when they re-engage.
They must have drawn a lot of inspiration from someone like Erica Lang, who was an extremely high level gymnast, probably still is, if push comes to shove, and seeing her excel in that and say, okay, this is what I've got to do to get to this point, then I've got to get it done.
Certainly that was very successful for Erica, and she was a phenomenal gymnast when she was younger. And I know that occasionally she does go to the gym and can still tumble quite well. And so, Erica's hugely talented athlete and has been very successful in both.
Okay, one of the challenges that a lot of skiers, and especially kids, get into is they plateau at some particular stage. They get to a point where... Maybe they're learning flips and stuff, and they just can't seem to land that half twist or that back to back. And they know in their heart of hearts they got to get that into their run as quickly as possible or efficiently as possible. So how would someone like you get past that kind of challenge, because it's been enough to derail a lot of kids skiing progress in the years.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very good thing to bring up. I think some people see the path as, you know, that there's only one route to get there. And, you know, you come across a trick and all of a sudden, you know, you're, you know, it's maybe it's a Wake 5 front and you're catching edges on it again and again and again. And, you know, the frustration builds and it seems like every set you're going out and taking hard falls. And if you can't kind of break through that, then there's no future for you.
And there's that quicksand analogy. You know, you try your hardest, and then you get deeper and deeper and deeper, and you can't get yourself out.
Yeah, no, I think and unfortunately, you know, that I think that does occur a lot. I guess I'm a big advocate of, you know, kind of put something on a shelf for a little bit. Don't necessarily, you know, kind of continue to beat your head against the wall. And that there's a lot of different tricks to learn. There's a lot of different skills to be able to learn. Some of them are a lot easier. You know, for me, the tricks really are, you know, kind of arbitrary. If you know how to ride your ski well, you know how to stand on your ski well, you have your setup right, you feel connected. You know, a lot of the tricks really eventually happen just as a course of evolution of your skiing. It's kind of your buoy count in slalom is a function of how well you ride a slalom ski. Your distance in jump and how you cut is how well you ride your jumpers and how well your level of understanding. It's the same in trick. You know, certainly you need to spend the time and learn the tricks, but you're not going to learn a trick really before it's your time to learn it.
Yeah.
When you've developed that natural skill, that natural ability to stand on your ski and it's your time. Sometimes, I mean, I've seen skiers that have never tried a trick before that could be an 800 point trick and they make it the first try. And it's, you say
like a front flip,
and it's like, okay, well, how did they do that? Did they do it because the trick is easy? No, they didn't do it because the trick is easy. They did it because it was their time, and they'd already reached the level of skill required for that trick. And now learning that trick was really an eventuality.
Yeah. So I mean, when you see some videos of like Joel Poland goofing off on a trick ski, and you probably look a little bit deeper into something that on the surface is essentially, you know, hey, look, Joel Poland, he knows how to have fun on a trick ski. You're probably seeing, you know, he's standing pretty well on that trick ski, and there's probably good reason why he's probably one of the better trick skiers out there.
Yeah, no, I think for the most part, you know, if you can go kind of show the style and grace that, you know, Joel shows, just kind of cruising around on a trick ski, doing, you know, every different type of 180 or wake 180, you know, and do it with such kind of fluidity and control, that it translates over to doing almost any trick you want to do. So that's really the basis of trick skiing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just going out there, learning how to stand on the trick ski, getting balanced enough to goof off on the trick ski, you know, and then once you've established that, then you can actually get into the meat and potatoes of actually turning tricks, so to speak.
Yeah, and I mean that translates over to slalom and jump or anything. So, you know, I think tricks is just an amazing way to start in the sport, and if you learn how to ride a trick ski well, you're going to be able to do most anything else you want to do on a water ski.
Talk about slalom and jump. Not your specialty in terms of, not for you being a competitor or probably even going so far as to coaching, but your long established contacts within the coaching world that have helped develop them as trick skiers come into play for slalom and jump as well, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been fortunate to, you know, ski with Jimmy for, you know, a long time, and as well as Jamie and you know, Marcus Brown, and you know, I have a number of other slalom friends, you know, Chris Rossi and otherwise, that I've spent time, you know, discussing slalom with at length, and you know, fortunately developed a good understanding of the sport, and you know, been able to, you know, along with you know, Camilo, you know, work with my kids and give that, you know, as well as recognize my wife, who, you know, is a pretty phenomenal
Mariana,
who is a pretty phenomenal slalom skier.
And overall, you know, skier,
and,
yeah.
Yep, and an overall skier, yeah, although, yeah, she hasn't jumped since she was, you know, younger. And
time
actually,
to get those jump skis out.
She did in Senior Worlds last year, I think, yes.
She might do in the Senior Worlds next year.
maybe next year, we'll see.
Take a trip to Greece.
Yeah, she is, I forgot, she has reemerged as an overall skier again. My Lexi's, you know, been chasing the, you know, national record, and we'll see if she gets that. But she's been working hard to, you know, and has run 38 a couple times in practice, and is doing quite well. So we'll see where she goes.
And I mean, she got fourth overall at the U21 Worlds, wasn't it? Alexi.
Jake got fourth. Got third in overall, and then Lexi was. Not fourth overall. She was like 12th, I think. Overall.
12th was it? 12th or something like that. But certainly a lot of room to improve.
I think she got fourth in overall, maybe at Junior Worlds.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I recall, I'll probably check on the results anyway. But I mean, I do so many tournaments the year. I mean, they're all run into one.
I understand. Likewise, it's hard to keep track a little bit. But they did great and had fun.
Okay, so you're probably looking forward to next season. We're here at the Malibu Open. Are they both competing, or is Jake just competing?
Lexi's not here. No, just Jake is competing, and he's doing overall. It should be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. Will be fun. So, I mean, there's this tournament. Jake, as a matter of fact, is the defending bronze medalist at the Men's World Tricking Championship. When he got that, I mean, that must have been so exciting for you and the rest of the family, right?
When he got third at World Championship. Yeah, no, that was very exciting and unexpected. He was so young at the time. It was 2 years ago. He was only 13 years old. He's only 15 now. And so it's, he's had a lot of fun and a lot of success, and this sport's a challenging sport that has its ups and downs, and so and you gotta stick with it, and so it's great to have that early success, but you gotta fight through the troughs too. So
he also turned out to be a pretty darn good announcer too during that event in the finals. And I remember the whole scenario. He was the first one out in the water, pretty much, wasn't he? And then he had to wait, and it was like a tournament of attrition. He's going down. Okay, there might be a possibility here. What was going through your mind at that time?
To be honest, we didn't think that he was, had a score high enough for a podium slot, after he'd kind of gone down at the end of his second pass in the finals. It ended up being enough. And, the finals at the Worlds is always, you never know what's going to happen. And, there's a lot of pressure people put on themselves, and also a lot of big runs people are trying to do to try and win. And this year's, you never know. It could take a world record to win.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's going to be an exciting event, and I think we'll see a lot of great skiing.
Okay, so, it's obviously important to establish goals in life, whether you're working or whether you're skiing. So what goals do Lexi and Jake have, I would say, early next year, I would say, once we get done with this one?
Well, I think, they're both passionate about kind of developing overall skiers, not just trick skiers. And, while trick was sort of a basis and focus early on, Jake's, they've both been slaloming and jumping a lot. And, Lexi's going to be just doing trick at Worlds this year.
Uh-huh.
And at 13 years old. And then, but hopefully, we'll see. In the next Worlds, she'll do hopefully overall. But this is also Jake's first Open Worlds with overall, and so that should be exciting and fun for him. A lot more skiing.
All right, and we certainly look forward to that. This has been the latest edition of the TWBC podcast, here with Richard Abelson. We thank him very, very much for being a participant here. Any parting words, sir?
Yeah, no, I just want to say thank you, Tony, and I just want to, give a call out to, the whole TWBC team, who just does a phenomenal job framing the sport and, continuing to elevate the level at which this sport is presented is just so critical to, both educating a broader, audience, as well as just continuing to create more engagement, within the professional arena of this sport. And you guys just do a phenomenal job, and so thank you.
And almost before I forget, what about good skis?
Go buy good skis. They're great. They're make the best skis out there. Both my kids slalom on them. Both of them, they trick on them. And, we developed Avalon trick ski, which both Lexi and Jake are on. It's, I think the best trick ski on the market.
All right, then. And with that, we'll conclude the episode. Thank you very much for your support. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.